So the last there's been a lot of stuff on Avalis on the laws of mourning in this volume. The last thing we're going to discuss is matters related to the Yahrzeit. That starts on page 192. Yahrzeit, of course, is a Yiddish word.
I hear you 100%.
Yar means year, and I don't know what the word Zeit means, but Yahrzeit is
Time. Like
time.
time of
Okay.
year,
Is the
time of
star.
year.
The time of the year that the individual passed away. In Hebrew, I think they say Yom HaShanah, which would be a direct translation, I guess, or Yom HaZikaron sometimes perhaps is used. Just muting everyone for the background noise. So here's what the Geshur Haim says about Yahrzeit. This is some just a general overview of what happens on that day. He says, in Geshur Haim, against Rabbi Chiya Michal we have a copy of the Geshur Haim in front of me. It's this black book that I'm holding up. So Tikhachinsky was a Rav Eretz Yisrael, I want to say in the 20th century. So this is one of the very authoritative modern Sfarim on things related to mourning. There's even more that have come out since, but definitely one of the early modern and comprehensive and authoritative Sfarim. So he says, "But Yom HaYahrzeit Shel HaManoach Mispael Le'Iluy Nishmaso." We daven for the elevation of the soul of the deceased. I don't know if I know exactly what elevation of the soul means. During the year, we want the soul to be elevated from Gehenna to Gan Eden. Even with the neshama reaching Gan Eden, there are higher levels of Gan Eden. So that's the basic concept. So we daven for the elevation of the soul. And it's also the day of judgment for the elevation for that year. So Kaddish said by the children of the deceased during the 12 months is meant to bring the soul from Gan to Gan Eden. So, the soul on the Yahrzeit, the soul can be elevated from one level and got into a higher level. And he writes here that this takes place in particular through the actions of the son, or I should say the children, if they're worthy, if they have merit. But the idea being that that the judgment of an individual does not end the day that they pass away, but their descendants, the way their descendants act, can make an impression as well. So that's the idea through davening and through saying Kaddish is sort of a demonstration of the righteousness of the children, and that brings benefit to the soul of the deceased. So there's some minhagim halachas that are associated with the Yahrzeit. A lot of these are brought in particular in Shulchan Aruch. I'm offering some of them. A lot of these, I don't think most of these are found in the Gemara, on the customs that developed at later points. So the Rama writes, as far as I'm aware, the Rama writes, "Mitzvah lehisanos b'yom shemes avoe." Source 28, the Rama says that it's a mitzvah to fast on the day that one's father or mother passed away. That's what Rama says. So, but in order for a fast to count, Gemara says, name of Shmuel, that a fast has to be accepted from the previous day. And if not, lashmei tainis. It's not considered a fast. So it's like this. If, for a public fast day or a fast day from the Torah, meaning Yom Kippur, applies no matter what. But if a person takes on any sort of personal fast day, they have to accept it on Mincha the day before. Actually, a text in the Siddur, Art Scroll Siddur has it. I don't know if every Siddur has it. Art Scroll certainly has it. There's a text to say at Mincha the day before a fast begins. Even if you don't say at Mincha, I think you can still say that after Shmona Esrei if it's still the day before. So there are all sorts of reasons why in history people would fast We generally only fast when it's when there's a halachic reason to fast. We don't generally accept fast days for the sake of accepting a fast day. But if someone were to do a tiny chalom, someone were to accept a fast day because of a terrible dream that they had. So you would have to accept that fast before the be, before that day, in order for that fast to count for something. So with that said, even though that's what the custom that the Ramah records, Rav Avadia Yosef writes, and this would apply for Ashkenazim as well, in verse 30, Yishanogim lisanos b'chol shana b'yom tiras ave'em, b'yom tiras rabo. He adds here that not only do we fast on the yahrzeit of a parent, but even on the yahrzeit of a once Rav. Minhag tov v'chashuv. It's a good minhag. It's a nice minhag. It's a meaningful minhag.
So the word mitzvah is used in a broader sense here.
Right. So, okay. So, yeah, that's the thing about mitzvah. So, say it like this. So, there are.
I heard there's a difference between a mitzvah and a chovah. A mitzvah is a nice thing to do, but a chovah would be more of an obligation.
Right. So here's how my life has gone. Right. When I was a child, I learned that mitzvah is a good deed. And then later they try to tell us no, mitzvah means commandment, which it does. But truth be told, in many places in halacha, mitzvah does refer to something of a good deed. So in certain places, you can tell that there's a distinction between a mitzvah and a chovah, as Susan said, as Herb was pointing out, that the mitzvah doesn't necessarily mean that it's literally a halachic obligation, but you know, if you do this, you've done something meaningful. So that said, Rabbi Yosef,
Which means if you don't do it, you don't get an Avera.
correct, correct. So Ravadia continues, source 30 on page 193 in the third line. Ulam ima tainis mafriya lo belimud haTorah shebiglala yimna milalechasuyish leshir Torah. If a fast is going to prevent one from learning Torah or from going to a shir, let's say the night after the fast, if it's going to make it difficult. And Rev Yosef Tzvi Rimon adds in his sefer that this would apply also for going to work. Going to work is important also if you can't work, if you're going to fast. And these anos klal. You should not fast at all. Half a day, not a whole day. Not even optional. I think we'd say that really one should not do that. If fasting is going to make it difficult for one to function in the way that they need to function, both for the purpose of mitzvah, but also for whatever other obligations one has, so then they should not fast. And it's said that once upon a time, people used to fast more often. Maybe we ate less, so people might have been more used to it. But nowadays, when we don't fast so much, so fasting can really derail one's ability to function. So then one shouldn't fast, but one should increase the Torah learning or the tzedakah on that day. Because again, if we go back to the Geshra Chaim, the idea that on the yahrzeit is to bring merit to the neshama of the person who we're remembering. So fasting is one way to do that, but giving tzedakah, learning Torah, also has an ability as well. And that can be considered to be very meaningful. So Geshra Chaim then talks about the minhag of being a shaliach tzibur. And this brings us back to the word chiyuv. There's an idea of a man having a chiyuv to daven from the amud when they are in mourning or within their 12 months of mourning for a parent, 30 days, shloshim were relevant, or on a yahrzeit. So the word chiyuv in this case should be taken to be used loosely. To daven from the amud, there are certain requirements. And so somebody's going to daven from the Yamut should be somebody who can daven properly, can pronounce the words properly, knows the proper nusach, is able to go at the speed that's appropriate for the shul, not too fast, not too slow. So even for an avil, and even for someone for your side, lefi ani it might be hard for the community to impose that on somebody, but a person should reflect for themselves whether or not they should be a shaliach tzibur. Before going further, say as follows. The Gesher Chaim says that a person that a son who has yartzeit davens all three tefillos. Val yartzeit ola the Torah. The bal yartzeit gets an aliyah. V'fil chal hayartzeit b'yom she'ein bo kriyas haTorah ola Torah b'yom shekor v'yartzeit. So let's say yartzeit is on Sunday, so they get an aliyah on Shabbos. If yartzeit is on Wednesday, they get an aliyah on Monday. V'Shabbos hakodem ola lematir. And also Shabbos beforehand, they daven maftir. They can have the maftir aliyah, and I believe can daven musaf. Okay, so I think the other important thing to add in terms of the benefit of davening from the amud, I think the main benefit of davening from the amud is really the kaddish that's part of davening, right? So most parts of davening have a kaddish connected with it. So for example, I would think that davening from the amud for Pesukei Zimra does not really help so much for somebody who has a chiyuv, because there's no kaddish in Pesukei Zimra that's only said by the Shliach Tzibur. But the Shliach Tzibur for Shacharis, there's a kaddish after Yishtabach, there's a kaddish after Shmona Esrei, and then there's a kaddish after Ashrei Uval Tzion as well. So one suggestion brought by the postgame is that somebody who is not as capable of davening from the Amud, maybe should take over Ashrei Uval Tzion. Again, I wouldn't say Pesukei de Zimra necessarily, because there's no kaddish here. I don't know if that really helps, but someone who might not want to daven from the Amud for the whole thing, or can't daven from the Amud for the whole thing, could take over from Ashrei Uval Tzion, and then they got the kaddish alein that comes after Uval Tzion.
Right.
My own Rebbe mentioned in Shir when we were learning Hilchos Avelos that his father, I think, had Yartzeit and Rosh Hashanah. So, okay, so, you know, Rosh Hashanah, just because they have Yartzeit doesn't mean that you become the Baal Masaf. So he was offered Mincha, and even that he declined. So, again, davening from the Amud is not completely an obligation. Maybe there's a certain, certain right to do it if somebody wants to, but even then, each person should evaluate for themselves whether, in that circumstance, they're the right person to do it. And, of course, it's not to be said that davening from the Amud or Yartzeit or during Avelos should not cause machlokas. It should not cause a dispute, because if you start having screaming matches of who gets down from the Amud, so that's not really bringing us chus for the neshama. Your parents hopefully did not teach you to have fights over things like that. To be a veteran, to be forbearing and foregoing brings more merit to the parent than arguing over who downs from the Amud. Also important to know. Okay. Anything before I go further? Okay. On page 194, there's a discussion on determining the date of the yartzeit. And this question was brought in the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen is Rev Yisrael Isserlin, lived in the 14th century, if I remember correctly. Trumas Hadeshen made up his own questions. In order to, he made a, not, they're not far-fetched questions, but he designed the questions in order to be able to make a certain halachic points. So the question that he asks here is that there are different opinions. There's some people who say that that you should do that they should say Kaddish on the day that the person died, or the day of burial. So which one is better? And his answer is Yom HaMisa Shapirt Fei, that it's better to observe the yartzeit on the day that the person was deceased. Right? That's the date of death is considered to be the yartzeit. That's what Trumas Hadeshen says. So, Yaakov Yosef, again, quoting from Rabbi Avadia Yosef, but pretty much applicable to Ashkenazim as well. So he says that for most customs of the year, we should go according to the date of death, assuming that we know when it is, and not according to the date of burial. This applies both the first year and other years. So just to pause there for a second, the question that came up in COVID was that if the burial takes place an extended period after the death, does that still apply? So I think the general cloud that Ashkenazim follow is that If the burial takes place more than 3 days after the death, then for the first year, the yahrzeit would be the date of the burial, and then other years it would be the date of death. But if the funeral takes place, a day or two after, so then the yahrzeit is always going to be the date of death. So,
There was something against that. Well,
yeah.
they started having confusion, because you're going to have the yahrzeit the first year different than the other year. So I think there was a consensus not to do that.
Right,
But
so generally that's a
maybe
consensus,
COVID
except.
changed it, because COVID, there was a long period sometimes.
Right, that's what I'm saying. When it's a period of more than 3 days, which doesn't happen all that often, but when it's a period of more than 3 days, so then we do a different date for the first year. So that actually came up with the Maisa, unfortunately. Fine. So he continues that with that said, that the Minhagei Avelos, right, for example, not going to weddings. And other things that apply for the year of mourning, so that continues until the Yom HaKfura. That takes place until the day of the burial, right? It's just that if you're going to do a fast, if you're going to do a siyum with Kaddish, making siyum at all, making any sort of a tikkun, any sort of meal, you're going to visit the cemetery. All of that would be done on the date of the death, even during the first year. But the Minhagei Avelos apply until a full year after the burial, and that's the reason why when the burial takes place so much after the death, that's why we might delay the yahrzeit, because then there's too much of a disparity between the yahrzeit and the Minhagei Avelos. But
It also gives you a full 11 months to say cottage.
Shouldn't affect the Kaddish per se.
The cottage ends on the yod side.
Kaddish isn't an onion. Kaddish ends 11 months.
Yeah, but if 11 months from when?
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're
Yeah.
saying.
I mean, the whole point is you don't put the 12th month in, because it's for Rishayim. But the Niftar was already Niftar. He already went through the 12 months of being Niftar, and maybe the 10th, if he was buried four weeks late, he already you should stop Kaddish on the 10th month. I don't know.
Right.
It's confusing.
I don't. Do you remember what? So do you remember what the practical halacha is there? I don't remember. What do most people do? They do 11 months after the burial for
They do
Kaddish.
from the date
That's
of
what I would think.
burial,
That's
the
what I think.
first,
That's the first time you see Kaddish, really. So that's what I would think.
because you can't say Kaddish before you're an Onan.
Right. Exactly.
So with
Right. I
COVID, there was a big period of aninus for a lot of people.
During COVID, there was.
Yeah,
COVID, there
so
was.
that should have counted about the Kaddish, I guess. But they weren't even Minyanim to say, all right. Okay.
I know. So, one other thing that comes up, I guess, frequently enough. So yeah, everyone paskens explicitly that Kaddish is 11 months after the burial. So everyone has that right here. One question that does comes up, if a person passes away in Adar Rishon, so and it's sorry, if a person passes away in Adar and then it happens to be a leap year, so do you observe the yahrzeit in Adar Rishon or do you observe it in Adar Sheni, which is relevant for this year? This year is a leap year, so for Ashkenazim. The custom is for Ashkenazim, the custom is to observe Adar Rishon. That's brought in the Ramah. Sfardim do Adar Sheni because that's what the Mechaber, that's what Rav Yosef Karo says. So again,
Is
if
this the
what?
first year you're talking about, or the
No,
year?
in general, if
Well, we do generally both observe both Rishon and Sheni.
in the first year you observe Rishon. So one thing that comes up about
No,
doing
not the
Rishon
first.
is it. One thing that comes up about doing Rishon and Sheni is whether one should fast both months. But for general yahrzeit customs, Ashkenazim do Adar Rishon and Sfardim do Adar a darshani. If it's if somebody passes away during a leap year, so they still only have 12 months of mourning. They don't do a 13 months. But then, of course, the yahrzeit still the yahrzeit will always fall in the same month. That's also true, by the way, when there's 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. So let's say somebody passes away on Rosh Chodesh. So let's say it's a Lamed Mar Cheshvan. So sometimes I think Mar Cheshvan is 29, sometimes it's 30. One of those months is it changes.
Adar Aleph is 30 on a leap year. Otherwise, it's 29.
Right. So,
My birthday, I know.
do you push it off to the first? So if it's one day Rosh Chodesh that year, do you do it on Rosh Chodesh, or do you do it the day before? So we always do the Yahrzeit the same month that it falls in. So if it was Lamed Mar Cheshvan, so it's always gonna so then it'd be it's always gonna be the month the Yahrzeit will always be Mar Cheshvan. One other thing that I think I wanted to mention about Kaddish. Okay, so two other things about Kaddish, and then I'll wrap up with one more thing. So Rav Ramon has a nice discussion here about what the purpose of Kaddish is beyond the Ilui Neshama. He says that Kaddish serves a function of justifying the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's we say Gadav Gadash Meirava. We're talking about the magnitude of God's great name, and we say Heshmei Rabba Mevarach, that God's name should be blessed. When doing that, so there's actually the verse from Iyo that's part of Tzidduk HaDin, Hashem Nasam Hashem Lakach, Yehi Shem Hashem Mevarach. Hashem gave, Hashem took, and God's name should be blessed. So that's Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevarach. It's the Aramaic translation of that. So just like in Tzidduk HaDin, we say Hashem's name should be blessed. It's also, I guess, behind Baruch Dayan HaEmes, right? That Hashem is still Baruch in that situation. So too, Kaddish is a form of Tzidduk HaDin. It's a form of acknowledging that God's decisions are just, even if we don't understand them. That's one thing he says. Another possibility is that when a person departs, so there's something missing from the world, and they had an influence. There's a kedusha. So by saying Kaddish and sanctifying Hashem's name, we fix the kedusha that departed with the death of the deceased. And then he talks about Ma'asim Tovim again. That emphasis on Yahrzeit and during the period of Kaddish is doing good deeds. There's a whole discussion nowadays about women saying Kaddish. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said that women could say Kaddish in general. There's two sort of approaches about whether a man should say it along with a woman or not. So I think it's generally better to have a man saying it along. I think it just kind of I think in general it's a good policy to have. But Rav Heshel Shechter does say that a woman can say Kaddish, and he even suggests that the woman should come into the back of the men's section because the minyan is in the men's section. She should be in the same she should be in the same domain. So practically speaking, I do not think that approach is generally followed. I've never seen that done in any shuls. But the point, but Rav Shechter says that even that she can even say it on her own. So if one walks into a shul, a woman saying Kaddish on her own, that's it's there's what to rely on there. But I think in many shuls where women say Kaddish, I think there's still something we said for having a man saying it along. I think it minimizes any possibilities of dispute.
What do you mean by the man? As a novel or any man?
Any man, I guess. I mean, it should be somebody. Look, so especially first of all, after Aleinu, there's an idea of saying a Kaddish Yasam always. Rama says that there should be Kaddish Yasam after Aleinu always.
Sometimes it's not.
But really, any man who is able to say Kaddish could say Kaddish along, even if he's not in Avelis. And the very last thing about Kaddish is that there's an idea of not being marbe kaddishim, that you don't want to have too many kaddishes because you don't want to cheapen. The kaddish is a very holy thing. It's a sanctimonious thing. So if you say kaddish after every parak of Tehillim where it's not necessary, So it's cheapening the importance of the Kaddish. Aruch HaShulchan screams very loudly about this. I shouldn't say too many Kaddishes. Certain places in davening where Kaddish is said to be done, the policy that that I feel strongly about, let's say if it's a day that you have, you have Anis Beris and Shir Shol Yom and Barchi Nafshi and the David and all that. So you do one Kaddish after all of those. So you don't need to do Kaddish after every single part.
I was in a shul where it was not Kaddish that they said a lot of, but it was aliyahs. Every three pesukim, they gave an aliyah. And
I'm technically permitted on Shabbos. All every three pesukim. Hopefully,
talk
this
about
happens like
Tircha
this.
d'Tzibur, it was like ridiculous.
Yeah. That's we need a Hasafa because there's a certain chiyuvim, and that's one thing. But okay, so Gesher Chaim on page 195, 196. There's some there's some discussion of customs of going to the grave. So what does one do when they go to the grave? So again, there's a custom to go to the grave on the day of the yard site. And he explains in the name of Tiferes Yisrael because on the day of the yard site, it's proper to go to the grave, as that is when the soul has great influence to disseminate light even to the fumes of the bones in the grave. So there's an influence that that can be had by going to the grave. So the custom is to say Tehillim. So here I'm not going to go through each one, but it gives certain Tehillim that could be said. There's also an idea of using the letters of the person's name. So chapter 119 of Psalms, it's the longest chapter of Psalms, and it has how many psukim? Seven, eight psukim of each letter. So first you have a bunch of olives, and you have a bunch of bays. So you go in order of the person's name, and you say the psukim that correspond with that person's name. Some people even do that for Mishnayos as well, that you should do a Mishnah from every letter of a person's name. You can do a Kalmale. You can do a Kalmale even without a minyan. Kaddish could be said at the grave at a yard site, but only if there is a minyan. Kasher Chaim says that if a yard site falls on Shabbos, so you could go Friday, you could go Sunday. Doesn't matter.
Rabbi,
Yeah.
my father's yahrzeit is on Rosh Chodesh, so it was always my understanding that you can't go to the grave on Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah, so you go before.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, even like we might think that like these, that has to be like exact, in these situations, but like, when it's not possible, so you do it when you can as close as possible. And then Yaakov Yosef, Rav Yosef mentions lighting a Yahrzeit candle. That's also a common custom. Okay. Rav Yosef also brings in on page 196, so for Sfardim, there's a custom of saying a Kaddish for the week of the yard site. So that will start on Friday night and go through the yard site. So if the yard site is on Wednesday, so you start Friday night and Kaddish is said through Mincha on Wednesday.
It's very
There's a question that I think there's a question that actually came up recently. So the Kaddish after Kabbalah Shabbos and Bamim Adlikin, so does that belong to Friday night or to Friday afternoon? So it seems like it belongs to Shabbos. It belongs to Shabbos. Okay, and they end here with the pasuk Bilamavis Lanetzach Hashem Elokim Dima Me'al Kolpanim. He has concealed death forever, and the Lord shall wipe the tears off every face. So even though death is something that we deal with in this world, something and this Shabbos with a Parshas Vayechi, it's time to be thinking about making the proper preparations for to make sure that we're always prepared. But the vision of the Navi is that we should be in a state of the world where the tears are wiped off, and that death shouldn't exist, and we should be in a world of Yom Shkul Shabbos L'chaye HaOlamim.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thank you, everyone.
Thank you.